Well, welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. We're here in the studio this morning, and with me is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And we're about to wrap up this morning our final discussion on the answer that we are seeking to the question that James asked in chapter 4 of his New Testament letter, what is your life? And comparing it to a vapor that appears for a moment and then just vanishes away. And we've been talking now for the last number of broadcasts about how to make that vapor count. And last time we were together, Doc, you shared with us the importance of honesty, becoming honest before God as a first step of making our life count before the Lord. And we kind of ended that broadcast by saying that honesty leads to a second thing, and that second thing is obedience. And you defined obedience for us as doing what I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to do it, with a right heart spirit toward the person asking me to do that. Did I get that right?
Yes. Doing what I ought to do, when I ought to do it, with the right heart attitude.
And that last part is pretty hard, isn't it?
Right. Because if Dad says, son, take out the garbage, and he waits for an hour, he hasn't obeyed. If Dad says, take out the garbage, and the son takes out the garbage, he's slamming doors and throwing things. He's done it, but not with the right heart attitude. Obedience is doing what I ought to do, when I ought to do it, with the right heart attitude.
So I can actually have all of the external parts of obedience right, doing what I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to do it. But if I don't have that last part with the right heart, I'm in trouble.
Yes.
I really haven't obeyed is what you're saying, even though I've done the external action. In other words, I haven't obeyed the way God wants me to
obey. I haven't obeyed completely. It's partial obedience. We see a picture of Saul in the Old Testament where he partially obeyed. God says to destroy King Agag and the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter 15. But he kept the best of the flocks and he spared the king. He partially obeyed, but he did not completely obey.
In his mind, he had good reasons to do that.
Oh, he had justified. Everyone who disobeys has already justified the case in his mind, or he wouldn't disobey. That's human nature.
Sure, sure.
You don't just say, you know what? I have no reason to, but I think I'm just going to disobey today.
Right.
No, you have already built the case in your mind. Your defense team is already lined up.
Right.
Before
right.
you make that decision of disobedience, and no matter what the prosecution has to say. And 1 Samuel 15:22, after Saul was confronted, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, well, I disobeyed. Yeah, I didn't do that, but what I did, I kept the very best in order that I might sacrifice.
What are the Lord. What are some things from this passage, Doc, that we substitute for complete obedience?
Well, I think one is partial obedience. I'm going to go as far as is convenient for me, but if it gets hard on me, then I'm going to justify not going beyond that point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to make something right between God and my dad, or between God and my mate.
And so I'm going to make it right between God
I'll go forward in church, or I'll get alone with God and pray. But then the Spirit of God very clearly has prompted me to go and make it right with that person. No, I've made it right with God. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm. Against thee only have I sinned. Yeah. We kind of go to that prayer that David prayed that we talked about.
And that's partial obedience. What Saul did here was partial obedience. He spared the best, but he had a pious reason. That's partial obedience. Then there's delayed obedience. That is, I'm going to do it, but not now.
Mm-hmm.
Where that's why we would always emphasize, even now, obey God when God speaks. In fact, we would hand out when God speaks sheets. I will obey. Okay, what has God said to me? Sometimes people get up right in a meeting and say, no use listening to more preaching when you know there's an issue you need to get settled now, because you don't want to add just more fact on to the pile until you've obeyed.
You know, that would make a tremendous difference in our churches, wouldn't it? If people would immediately respond to the word. And I know we're not advocating getting up and disrupting services, but really the point is we don't obey immediately, and then if we don't give that immediate obedience, the chances are that we're not going to obey at all.
Yeah, and we could do like Saul also, is think that our giving and our doing is going to be a substitute for obedience, because he said, yeah, I disobeyed, I agree, but this is why I disobeyed, because I love God so much, I have to disobey him because I kept the best to sacrifice in order that we might prove our sincerity to the Lord. And he said, I've kept the best and I kept the king, but it wasn't obedience. It was partial obedience. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19 says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. See, I'm willing, but have you obeyed?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you are willing to obey God? All I have. Now, how many of you will obey God?
Then now, now you're meddling.
Suddenly the crowd thins big time.
Right.
Rather than doing what we ought to be doing at that time. And when we're in a church service, I always have my pen when I'm under preaching, and I will write projects off to the side based on what I've heard. What do I have to do now based on what I've heard? Not to put myself under a legalistic system.
Right, right.
But to not let that die. If there's something that I have to get done, if there's something I have to communicate, then I want to get that done so that I will understand that. John chapter 7 and verse 17 says, if a man will do his will, he will know the doctrine. And there is an obedience factor there. He'll know the doctrine. Mm-hmm. He will know the truth, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. But the step there is obedience.
You know what's interesting? In modern circles today, that doesn't seem to be a note that's sounded very much. In other words, if we know the doctrine, we don't have to obey because, you know, if you preach any kind of obedience equals blessing kind of thing in modern churches today, you get your head knocked off as being some kind of a legalist for that.
Right. In other words, if you say obedience brings blessing, say, no, the blessing was given at Calvary, and that is true.
I mean,
our sin, that sin matter is settled. But that doesn't mean that now that I'm God's child, I can just go on and do anything I want to do and still be blessed. Even Psalm chapter 1, who is blessable? Blessed is the man, and then three negatives given there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the positive, he not only separates from these things, he is studious in God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Before he becomes steadfast and successful in Psalm chapter 1. And so anything that hints of doing is automatically called legalism today, and we miss a lot of what we need to be doing in the Christian life. And by the way, it is far more comfortable just to settle in academic truth than in obeying academic truth.
Mm-hmm.
People love Bible conferences. They hate Bible application.
Right.
You can pack out a place with a Bible teacher at a Bible conference. But the minute that Bible teacher starts calling to obedience, where the crowd thins out big time, say, we didn't come here to be challenged. We came here to be entertained, to enjoy your academic experience.
Or to be educated, even.
Or to be educated.
But your verse that you read there, what verse was that again?
John 7:17. If a man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it's of man or of God.
And, you know, somebody might argue, well, that was just, you know, Jesus' pre-cross teaching. But, I mean, first, we were talking earlier about 2 Peter 1, where Peter says you're to add to your faith. And he lists these seven things that you're to add to your faith. And then at the end of that little segment, he said, and if you'll do these things, they will cause that you will not be barren in the knowledge of God. The way to get to know God more, the way to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ more, is by adding these things to your faith.
And that is a step of obedience. That is not a legalistic exercise.
Right.
We know we're saved by grace. We know nothing we can do will let us not go to heaven. But when we eliminate the concept of obedience, if there's a broken relationship between brothers in Christ and that is not dealt with, it is going to affect the freedom of the Spirit in that person's heart. It's not going to affect his eternal destiny.
You know, we've all heard the statement that the Holy Spirit could be absent from most of our churches, and it wouldn't affect what we do on Sunday mornings. Most of us, we would just go on business as usual. I mean, that's how calloused we have become in this whole area of sensitivity to this issue of obedience that we've been talking about.
So it's something that certainly has to be emphasized. When we were doing revival meetings, Ruth Green, we would always talk about obedience. Number one, I will be honest and I will be obedient. So Ruth Green wrote a song called Obedience is the Very Best Way. So we had that song. She wrote it for the Crusades that we are doing. And it's a cute little song regarding obedience, but it's also a great truth.
Great theology there.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about making our life count, and it necessitates honesty, and it necessitates obedience, but it also necessitates wisdom. And somebody defined wisdom as the skill or ability that is gained from God's word that is necessary every day for living life that pleases God. And this is kind of what we're talking about here. Knowing the doctrine comes from obedience. And yet obedience is premised on wisdom that comes from above.
If you look in Proverbs chapter 2, there is a conditional clause begins in verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive and hide.
Mm-hmm.
That's step number one. That's getting God's truth in. And I had just preached a message on Proverbs chapter 23 on building a house. Through wisdom is a house built, through understanding it is established, and through knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all pleasant and precious riches. A man came up afterwards and said, I appreciate the message. You told us we need wisdom, fear, knowledge, and understanding, but you didn't say how to get it. I stood there, I said, well, I said, I just memorized the passage that answers that. And my mind was scanning while this guy was talking, and I went back to Proverbs 2. And I said, there's a conditional clause, my son, if thou wilt receive my word, that's getting God's truth in, and hide, that's the memorization part, the reception to the memorization, if thou wilt apply thine heart to understanding. In other words, I hear it, now I lean that direction, and I apply that.
You actually do it, it's the obedience step.
I get the truth in, then I work the truth out. And then if you lift up and cry, lifting up and crying does not come until there's been obedience. If the Holy Spirit convicts you to go and witness to your neighbor, unsaved neighbor, you'll find yourself praying. If you feel prompted to give $10,000 to missions, you'll say, Lord, was that you? You'll find yourself crying out unto God, say, was that you or the devil?
Even $10.
Yeah, even $10. So there is the praying there. And then verse 4 of that passage says, if you seek as silver and search as for hid treasure. Now we get down to the down again. I get it in, I work it out, I lift up, then I'm driven down. And then verses 5 and 6 give the fulfillment of that conditional clause. That's all one sentence there. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, and out of his mouth cometh wisdom and understanding. So if I do these things, wisdom, fear, knowledge, understanding grow. Every time that cycle is repeated, wisdom grows, knowledge grows, fear grows, understanding grows. And I told that guy, I said, that is how you get it.
So in, out, up
and down.
Down. That's simple to remember.
I get it in. I work it out in obedience. My obedience causes me to be driven up in prayer.
Because I'm struggling.
Then there's a fullness, hungering and thirsting for more after righteousness. Then there's a seeking, a searching, as for silver and hid treasure. That's the diligence level. It goes from an academic function to a diligence hunger. And then these four elements are added to the life in Proverbs chapter 4.
You know, that's a nugget that every one of our listeners can take home today, right out of Proverbs 2. Let me just thank our listeners for your kind support and your prayers, and we're thankful for you, and we'd love to hear from you.